B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Four o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check him out online at landisbc.com. Well, this is a big week for this guy. Not only is he still in the throes of baseball season, but he's got to maintain enough poise and direction to be inducted in the Hall of Fame with a glistening Hall of Fame speech. He is the great Jason Stark from The Athletic, brought to us by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds even during peak hours when everyone is online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. Hello, Jason.
Mike.
How you feeling?
Live from Cooperstown, man.
You're in Cooperstown now?
I have been in Cooperstown all week.
Ah!
And it's getting real.
That's awesome.
Like,
all right, so what are you doing at Cooperstown this all week? What are your activities?
All right, well, first off, just let me set the scene a little bit because, you know, I got here Sunday night, so I'd have a chance to ease into the week and take care of just a million details without coming up like Thursday or something and trying to sprint through it all because I want to savor it. But I'm staying in the amazing Otisaga Hotel. And today something incredible happened because they cleared out all of the civilians from the hotel because they're awaiting every living Hall of Famer to move into this hotel and baseball dignitaries. And they didn't make me leave. I'm still here.
Well, see, you're not a civilian. You're an inductee.
I'm not.
You're no longer a civilian. You're an inductee. That is awesome that they cleared it out. Now, how many people are coming up to you for autographs?
I haven't done a lot of autographing so far. It's supposed to be a no autograph weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I will sign for people, obviously. I went into a card shop on Main Street, and that guy was real excited. He had me sign like a home plate thing that he does with when Hall of Famers walk in.
Uh-huh.
And I've had a couple people stop me in the museum and on the street, but for the most part, I'm not Mariano. Okay, I can walk the streets of Cooperstown.
Mariano's getting in. I'm coming up to see Jason Stark. Get Mariano.
Yeah. Well, hey, I am so honored that you're coming, pal. It means so much to me. I can't even tell you.
We're happy to do it. John Clark and I are going to come out. We're not staying in that fancy hotel. We're trying to find a place to stay, by the way.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be impossible. Do you have any pull in getting us in that fancy hotel of yours? I mean, you're a Hall of Famer. I know a Hall of Famer. I mean, but somebody got, you know, that's about as high as it gets.
You ain't staying here.
All right. Let me ask you about this is obviously an all-time moment in someone's life. It doesn't happen every day. I mean, you've covered a lot of great moments. You've been on a lot of deadlines and all that kind of stuff. This is a moment. Are you nervous at this particular moment? Do you anticipate being nervous, or are you looking forward to this to the point where you're just going to slay it?
Well, I just found out from your introduction that I have to glisten.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Yes.
Now that's precious.
Well, you'll be glistening. It'll be 100 degrees anyway. We'll all be glistening.
That's a good point.
Yes.
See, I knew I could speak. I didn't know if I could glisten. But, you know, I wouldn't say that I would describe this as nerves. I would just describe it as overwhelming. It's just a surreal experience to be here, to be in this moment, to be treated this way by so many people, and to be, you know, I've written the speech. The speech is now in the official binder that they give all the Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now rehearsing the speech. I every day I hear from people that I wouldn't expect to hear from, you know, and from all different corners of my life. And it's just an overwhelming experience to have people reach out and want to share it. That's the way I look at all these the tweets, the emails, the texts, the calls. It's just all these people from my life and times who want to share the moment. It's the very coolest part of all of this.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like it's cool. Like, knowing a Hall of Famer, I mean, your dedication to baseball has been so extravagant that you deserve this. And really, the people are coming up for you because what you have done for them as well. And don't ever forget that. I mean, you know, we broke in a long time ago, and you before for me, but you were always very gracious with me, and I'm honored to come up and see this.
Well, sharing it with you is one of the coolest parts because, you know, our history is entwined now at many different spots.
It really is.
And look, you build relationships. That's what we do. We build relationships. And then something like this happens, and you realize how many relationships that you built and how many of them are truly meaningful. Our friendship, our relationship is so meaningful to me, I think to both of us, right? We don't go on these journeys without having people like you share the journey and be part of the journey. And you've definitely pushed me a few steps along the path that I'll never forget. And I mean that sincerely.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. I recollect that our desks were next to each other at the Inquirer.
They were.
Little did I know at the time that the guy to my right was going to be in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and I'd be out to see it. So it's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about the Phillies and what happened last night and what happened the night before. Because the night before was revealing to me in so many areas. And then they snap back and they win a great game last night because Bryce Harper carries them. But I want to look at the 16-2 game and what you thought impact that had on the fan base of this team.
You know, I didn't really get to see a whole lot of that game. By the time I had a chance to turn on the TV in Cooperstown, Roman Quinn was pitching. That was kind of a sign in and of itself. I remember when I first came on your show as the season was about to begin and told you I wasn't convinced the Phillies were a playoff team. And I think one of the reasons is I'm comparing them to the best of the best. I'm comparing them to teams like the Dodgers. You watch a game like that, and you realize what a great team looks like, what a win the World Series team looks like. There are a lot worse teams in the sport than the Phillies, but they're not that. They're not that team. And that was a game that thundered home that message to a lot of people. I wouldn't be surprised if it reinforced it to the people who run the Phillies.
Well, they were both extended here. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that game was so bad on a fundamental level where guys forgot outs. Guys didn't know where to cover. They ran the double steal on them. The safety squeeze bunt. Now, that indicated to me, and I've never been one to blame Gabe Kapler for this, but that was to me a reflection of a team not in sync, not in unity. And I can trace that all the way into the clubhouse and the climate that's being created in there when guys aren't paying attention to stuff. Can you do that?
You know, it's certainly concerning. And I've been there for a while. I've got all this Hall of Fame stuff to deal with. Last time I was there, I certainly didn't get the impression that the manager had lost the team, that the coaching staff had lost the team. I think when a team goes through what they've gone through for almost a couple of months now, it takes its toll on everyone in lots of different ways. But hey, if I'm running the Phillies, I would be really concerned by what I'm watching, especially on nights like that. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I would say when a team gets to this point, anything's possible. The season isn't over. And I don't think anything would happen to anyone mid-season, but let's see what goes on from here to the finish line, because I don't have any doubt that some people's jobs are on the line.
Is there any way in the current state of this team that they can salvage this season into a playoff spot?
So So playing in the wild card game, is that salvaging the season?
Semi. I don't even expect that because I can't imagine that their pitching staff can hold up to that extent.
Yeah, you're talking about a lot of flawed teams, so it's not impossible. You also saw what could happen last night if Bryce Harper is that guy. And that changes a lot of stuff, but it's possible to salvage the season. The trading deadline is a couple of weeks away. And I still think, regardless of what we've seen now for 6, 7, 8 weeks, and where they sit in the standings in the division, this is still a shopping opportunity for this front office. There aren't that many of these that come along during the season. This is one of them. And so making the right deal or deals to salvage the season. There are definitely scenarios where they salvage the season.
But
that's their definition of it.
Yeah, but McPhail's on the record kind of saying don't expect that. Like, we're not going to, we need too much to salvage the season and to that extent. So it sounded like to me that he's just going to punt. Did it sound like that to you? Or do you see a significant deal on the horizon?
I've known Andy for a long time. And Andy loves to lessen expectations on his team, on his front office, on himself. I interpreted those words as being right in step with that. And regardless of the fact that he tried to make it seem like we got too many holes, it's not worth doing whatever we're doing, I honestly don't think that's how Matt Klentak and the baseball operations team sees this. I don't think you take a team like this with this many injuries and this many holes, and you try to make quick fix type patches. But I do think that the season is worth salvaging, and they will look for ways to upgrade depth, if nothing else, if the cost is low enough. And I also think they will look into long-term buys. I don't think they have enough probably to win the Matthew Boyd bidding war, but a pitcher with 3+ years of control, if those kinds of guys are out there, you should shop for that. You have an opportunity to shop for it now. You don't have to wait for the winter. So why wouldn't you?
Okay, so you owe it to your fans to at least shop for it. All right, I got it. Jason, listen, have a great time in there with the preparation. We'll be there to support you. And enjoy this week and take it all in.
I'm savoring every moment, but I really look forward to the sight of you and that John Clark out there.
Yes, we will be in the crowd, and don't start the speech with 4 score 7 years ago. It's been already taken. All right, so just go be a little more. Yeah. All right, I can't wait for the opening line. All right, brother, we'll see you Saturday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there's Jason Stark, brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with boring soda when you hit a grand slam with Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks? Available at your neighborhood store, Everfresh, nature's refreshment. I will never, ever get into a Hall of Fame, Tyrone.
That's not
true. I don't know about that.
My buddy Jason is getting in.
No, you're getting in.
You're getting into a Hall of Fame.
There's no Hall of Fame that would have me.
Yes, there is.
You're going to go into a Philadelphia Hall of Fame for sure.
The broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia.
Is that a real one?
Yes, the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia, and there's the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame, so don't count yourself out, Mr. Smelly.
Now, you're going to get into them. You got to figure out who's going to, I'm looking forward. You should let Jason do your induction speech.
Jason, present me?
Yeah, that'll be.
I'll nominate you.
Whew. All right, thank you, Nat.
That'd be a deuce.
All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get it. Again, this is General Knowledge Wednesday. We've already had a ticket raid. Okay, so the only way you can get tickets to FanFest today, we gave away 1,000 in 2 minutes. Only way you can get them from this point on is to answer a General Knowledge question correctly. All right, let's go back to the phones. Marilyn in Brookhaven. Marilyn, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
I'm good. Mike, first-time caller. Love your show.
Thanks, Marilyn.
I am a senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Phillies.
Uh-huh.
I've been to Phillies 101 twice when they had the for the women.
Very nice.
I just it was wonderful.
Who were the teachers for that for your class?
I went last year,
mm-hmm.
and the same coaches, same hitting coach, and we heard there's so many things to see and do,
mm-hmm.
and that we had our special guest at lunch,
uh-huh.
who was Reese Hoskins.
Uh-huh. Reese came up and said hello, huh?
God, he did. He answered questions, answered one of my questions. I was, like, thrilled. Got some really cool pictures. So it's a wonderful thing for women.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, Marilyn.
Yeah. My question is, what is your opinion on why Matt Klentak and Annie McPhail got extensions, and they're so behind Kapler? Do you think there's just no one else to take their place?
No, I think that John Middleton really believes in these gentlemen. And yes, I think this whole plan when he hired these guys was to see it through. And I've seen, McPhail is a guy that I would think connects with John Middleton. They're both kind of classy gentlemen, probably hang out in the same kind of circles. So, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that they're connected. And Klentak is the young guy who McPhail's bringing along. So I think that appeals to Middleton. Now, I don't know what Middleton's reaction was to that 16-2 game, because if I was the owner of the team, I'd have a certain reaction. So I don't know if he's like, but they've extended him. So they're in it together. This is going to be what you see.
Oh, it's hard to watch sometimes. It truly
is. It is, but like last night brings you back, right? You were excited?
Oh, sure. Oh, I was. Absolutely. Okay. It was great.
All right, Marilyn. Listen, thanks for checking in.
Thank you for talking to me.
All right,
thank
Marilyn.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye now. There you go.
Love her.
She had a nice, yeah.
She was so delightful.
She was. She's very delightful.
I hope she calls back.
She's a Phillies fan.
I know. So sweet.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Jeffersonville. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
How are you doing, Mike?
What's up, Chris?
All discombobulated with Jason. I'll tell you, I didn't even know he was going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, there you go.
When was that announced?
Oh, that was announced a while ago. Yeah, it's the J.G. Spink Award, a journalistic award.
Okay, because mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I've been reading him. I've been an mm-hmm. Inquirer subscriber since I, the bulletin went out of business.
Yes.
You know?
Well, Jason and I were young lads working together. He was a lot more experienced than I was when I got to the Inquirer.
Yeah, so the reason I originally called was I just came from Valley Forge Casino, put a few bets down there on, mm-hmm. The birds were down there at 15-1, to win the Super Bowl. But I was mm-hmm. curious about what your sleeper pick for the British Open might be.
I haven't really examined it closely, but everybody loves Rory in a British Open.
Well, that's all the Northern Ireland guys.
He should play well in Northern Ireland, shouldn't he?
I think there's going to be too much pressure on him.
You think so? Here's the one thing
absolutely.
I know. Tiger Woods has no chance.
No, of course. No, no.
No, he hasn't played golf at all.
No, he plays the majors, and that's about it.
Yeah.
He's kind of like one of these tennis players.
Yeah.
I put a $100 bet on Mark Leishman. What do you think? 65-1.
He got a shot.
I got Matsuyama. Mm-hmm. I put Matsuyama in there as well. I got I put Koepka in there. For a quarter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the guys only had one first and two seconds in all the majors this year.
Yeah.
So I just figured, what the heck?
Yeah, I never bet on golf tournaments because
have in my life.
Yeah, anybody can win from any week. So to me, there's absolutely no way I can zero in on anybody that's going to win.
Absolutely. There's great payouts on it.
Yeah. Justin Rose is a good play at 20-1.
Yep. And I thought about him, but mm-hmm. I just caught a feeling I don't know if the European's going to do it. So anyway, but you playing this weekend?
No, I'm going up to Cooperstown, New York to witness the induction of Jason Stark. And we forgot to mention that Jason has a burger named after him this week at Foley's,
yes.
which is a well-known spot. It's the Jason Stark Hall of Fame burger. What is on that, Tyrone? Do we know?
It's a burger stuffed with Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, there you go.
Topped with Monterey Jack, guacamole, sauteed onions, and it's served with sweet potato fries.
So the burger is stuffed with Philly cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Wow. How's that?
Well, you open it up, you do that, and then you cook. Okay,
so there's cheesesteak inside the chopped burger.
Yeah. Huh. Monterey Jack cheese, guacamole, onion. That's actually a pretty good
sounding
burger.
That sounds tasty. Mm-hmm.
Tasty burger.
It's a very tasty burger.
Interesting that it's like double beef, though, if it's a beef burger and then it's stuffed with more beef.
Well, yeah. That's not wrong with
burger. Gone with cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Beef.
He's from Philly.
All right. Sounds good. I'll grab maybe one of those. 610-632-0975 is how you get in on General Knowledge Wednesday. Talking Phillies, but anything that's on your mind, we're talking about. We had not one Sixer call today.
People are content for now.
People are content. And we're content with the Eagles. We're contented completely with the two sports that have come. It's this one that's aggravating us.
Yep.
Back up to this 97.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
4:30, time to update our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agonoff. Natalie.
Thank you, Mike. We have over 700 votes on this one today. Will last night's big game build momentum for Bryce Harper? 75% say yes, 25% say no.
You better hit three home runs tonight with this lineup. Good Lord. I mean, all right, they'll probably show me up. Like, somebody will be a star in the bottom half. But they got Brad Miller hitting fifth, Adam Haseley hitting sixth, Nick Williams hitting seventh, Andrew Knapp hitting eighth against Kenta Maeda with Nick Pivetta on the mound.
If the Phillies win, it'll almost be definitely because of Club Tyrone. Either Haseley or Williams are going to have some big hits.
You got Haseley and Williams right in the mix of things.
That's right.
That lineup.
Are you going to host the after party?
Yeah. You know, you come on down to Club Tyrone. If you bring your ticket stub, you get in free.
Big night for you.
Yep.
Let's go to Tom in Oakland. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hello, Mike. This is Tom from Oakland. I just wanted to make a comment about your comment about Tom McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
To mention his name with Harry Callis is almost like an insult.
Yeah, well, I didn't mention his name with Harry Callis at all. I just said it was a great call by him.
It was terrible. Because guess what? The guy can't even.
That's not true.
What was terrible? Hold a second. It was a great, exciting call. The game winning hit. What did you not like about it?
Well, okay, but when you listen to him call a game, he rarely uses the English language correctly.
All right, you're not a fan. I get it, but the call last night, play it. Can you play it for him? I'm gonna play it for you, Tom. Yeah. I mean, seriously, keep an open mind. This is a great call of a game-winning hit. Here it is.
And a line drive into center field. That's going to drop for a base hit. It gets past Paul. It goes to the wall. One run scores. Here comes Gabry. The Phillies are going to win the ball game.
What is wrong with that call, Tom? That's exciting.
All right, I'll give you his exciting call. I'll give you that.
All right, but that's all we commented on.
But when they said he took what's the name was saying that he took over Harry Callis' call or something.
All right, whatever. You don't like Tom McCarthy. Len, King of Prussia. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Len.
Hey. Hi, Mike.
What's up, Len? How you doing?
To you in a while.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Listen. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here, Glenn. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. You're a lawyer. I've been thinking about how they're pitching these pitchers six innings, five innings, and they're really getting screwed with their record keeping. I was thinking, like they do in the hockey game, if a pitcher leaves the game having recorded enough innings to get the win, and then they They give up the lead and then get it back again and win the game. The starting pitcher or whoever the pitcher of record was, you know, gets nothing. Why don't we give them a half a game? A half a win?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is this really this important, an issue?
It's important that it gives them a record.
Well, if they lost the lead, why should they get credited with anything?
Well, no, not if they lost the lead. They get taken out of the game because they had 100 pitches. All right?
Yeah.
They're ahead by 2 runs. Nearest comes in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I hear where you're going with it. I mean, it's just, you know, I never really thought about it as that important that you give half wins to the guys. Cause,
well, the game has changed so much. When I was a kid, you know, the pitchers pitched 9 innings a complete game, as many as half, 50, 60% of the time. Now, you know, if they pitch 2 complete games a year.
Yeah, I get you. The times have changed.
We got to be passing out half wins now.
We're nearing 5 o'clock, friends.
You know what is funny? You couldn't even give either the last 2 guys general knowledge.
Right, I couldn't.
You couldn't do it. You'd have to go back through history. Think about if you had to go back. You're the person who has to go back throughout history and find all the games in which a pitcher left with the lead. They blew the lead, and then the team came back and have to award all those half wins throughout history.
Yeah, listen, I get where the guy's coming from. It's sometimes not fair that a guy will go 7 innings and get a no decision out of that. I get it.
But that's also why, now that we know better, they don't use wins like they used to for Cy Young. They do take that into account. If you're doing that a lot and you're always leaving seven innings, one run, and you're not winning, you can still be rewarded. You'll still get paid. You'll still get a Cy Young.
Yeah, I've included that as like one of the fundamental unfairnesses of professional sports. I haven't thought of that as that. So it's got to be a little more of an important issue for me to delve into something like that. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Pete in Walnut Port. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pete?
I'm a new caller, Mike, but a long-time listener.
Thanks, Pete.
Now, let's not act like we're Einsteins around here. We all know that the Phillies need a stopper and they need another starter. You don't have to be an Einstein to figure that out.
They need a closer, you mean?
Yes, a closer.
Yeah, closer.
Stopper. Yeah, a closer.
Yeah.
And they need another starter. Without that, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to get a closer at this point.
No, so, I know, but that's something that they need to work on for next year.
Well, yeah, obviously. I think they've learned enough about Neris that he's not a closer, that he could be an eighth inning piece, but he's not a closer.
That's right. And the other thing is, since this, you know, I understand analytics.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen to Crocker the other night when they got beat so bad, he talked about it during the game that the Dodgers were the first ones to use analytics, and they still do.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, they hit and run, they bunt, they steal. They don't go completely analytics. When's the last time that the Phillies ever hit and run? They haven't hit and run in 2 years.
They don't have any runners.
Well, when they get somebody on, they don't try to move people over. How many people hit the ball to right field on the Phillies team other than a left-handed hitter?
You got to understand something, Pete. I know you're an old-school baseball guy, but games change. Games change. So the bunt now is looked at as you're giving somebody an out. A hit and run is that you're taking away, you're taking the bat out of a guy's hand who can maybe drive the ball into the gap for a double. You see, the game changes. Taking a lot of older gentlemen today, this hour. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Like old school dudes.
Mm-hmm.
The game has changed. I didn't make up the rules. All right. The analytics part of this whole thing is that you're better off not giving up outs. That you're spawning hitters now. You're not spawning little Punch and Judy bunters anymore. You're spawning hitters who every spot in the lineup can drive the ball somewhere and create a run-scoring opportunity instead of an out-making opportunity. That's what analytics are all about. Austin in Villanova, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Austin.
Mike, it's been a while. How are you, my friend?
What's going on, Austin?
Not much. You're getting me through this move I'm going through today. I'm moving from my house of 23 years in Bryn Mawr. You get this, a minute down the road in Bryn Mawr.
You can't leave Bryn Mawr, huh? Too much activity going on in Bryn Mawr for you?
That's what Pops wants. What Pops wants, Pops gets, apparently.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Bryn Mawr's hopping.
Yeah, yeah. It's got all the nice families there.
Bryn Mawr's actually a nice little strip there of merchants and restaurants and bars.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah,
it's nice.
If you're looking for a crazy night out, you're not going to get it in Bryn Mawr.
No, it's a sleepy town night. At Bryn Mawr, yeah. So what's on your mind today, Austin?
It's infuriating to watch this team unfold game by game, because it feels like you're listening to a broken record over and over again. A starter goes 4 or 5, and then they have a sizable lead some nights, and then the bullpen gives it up. But I'll give it to Klentak in that. There have been injuries, McCutcheon, Roberts, and all the pitchers. The one thing that I can't get my head wrapped around is that you've watched Velasquez for 2 seasons now give the exact same performances game in, game out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not understand that coming into this season, that he just is not what it is, and you have to go out? And it boggles my mind that they never thought about that with him, and they never got a starting pitcher. I mean, it feels like after they got Harper...
It's a terrible misjudgment. It was a terrible misjudgment. Now, it may have been financial reasons for it, but they can't, like, with a straight face, say they were comfortable going into the season with the 3-4-5 configuration, with four guys in those three spots, because none of them had shown you anything.
Exactly right. And it felt like the entire time, and then, through the watered-down press conferences that they would give, they would say, well, we're going to evaluate at the trade deadline. Well, if your pitching staff can't carry you to a point where you can evaluate the trade deadline, then there's really no point in what you're doing anyway.
You're right. It was a terrible misjudgment, and they're going to have to make amends for that next year. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question.
Yes, sir.
For a pair of FanFest tickets, musical acts by state, I'm going to give you two musical acts. You tell me the state that they're from. All right, let's go with Nirvana and Macklemore.
Seattle? No. Washington.
Correct. It's Washington. You got one.
Very good.
All right. 610-632-0975. You remember the old days when the Phillies were winning and the roles they had carved out in the bullpen, where you can count on certain guys in roles? Seventh inning, Durbin, J.C. Romero. Eighth inning, Madsen. Ninth inning, Liz. Now, they were able to preserve their bullpen because they had starters that could get you to the seventh. When you can't get to the seventh, you got to fill the bottom of the fifth. You got to fill the sixth. You got to get too many outs. And your bullpen arms are not going to, they're not elastic. So that's been a major problem. 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Show. On
97.5,
The Fanatic.
448, Mike Snelly Show. I'm going back and forth with this guy on email. Very peculiar question he asked me on email about FanFest. He says, am I able to give my FanFest tickets to my parents? I am having eye surgery on the 15th and may not be able to attend. So I write back, I'm not so sure your parents would enjoy the craziness of FanFest. And he writes back, is that a yes or no? And I write back, well, how old are your parents? And he writes back, this is becoming way too hard and annoying. You're not good at answering questions. Goodbye. Dude, I'm just trying to gauge whether they would like it or not. If they're older people, they probably wouldn't like it. I'm just trying.
Yeah, I'd say
like,
any.
How do I answer a question like that? Can I give my tickets to my parents?
Sure, you could.
I need more information. If the kid is like 18 or 20, whatever, his parents may be young enough they'd enjoy it. If they're in their 70s, they're probably not going to enjoy it.
They're going to be doing the strongman challenge.
Right. It's great. It's craziness and mayhem. It's a big outdoor party. So I'm not so sure that, like, if your parents are older people, they would really enjoy it. Trying to help the guy out here.
Right.
Well, how would you answer that question?
I mean, I would have just said yes.
You can.
Anybody can answer.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not helping him with the moral decision.
I'm trying to help the guy out. I mean, I don't want the parents to show up and thinking that, like, the Lawrence Welk Orchestra is going to be playing there.
I would. Lawrence Welk.
I'm just saying. Maybe used to a certain thing. You know, I'm just trying to help the guy out.
I would hope.
If they're over 21,
then they can come.
They can come.
Due to the upswing in our elderly callers, thanks, I think, in large in part to the television, we may as well have some elders.
Yeah, we might have to have like this. Maybe we should have seniors' corner.
Listen, I'm trying to protect it from Bikini Beach. You know, and maybe they're older people, and you know, the guy will go, oh my, Margie. You know, I don't want that to happen.
Look, you can't control that, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. No, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, they can come.
You can pass the tickets if they're over 21.
Give them to the parents. Well, of course they're going to be over 21. They're parents.
Well, in this day and age.
It's the prohibitive age limit. What would you say the oldest person at FanFest would be comfortable?
Oh, well, no, it's 69.
69.
There's a bunch of 60-year-olds in that joint.
Take that out of the air. 69.
Because I think 70
might be too old.
But under that, because there was a bunch of 60-year-olds there last year.
Yeah, but I know.
Harassing me about getting in the VIP last year.
I know, but there's also.
And with the rough hands on my shoulder.
There's a lot of spry 70-year-olds, so maybe we should say like 75, but then I don't want to be ageist, so bring everybody.
Well, everybody. This guy's mad at me now. And then he says, writes back, if I'm asking you, obviously they know about it and would like to go.
Oh, then yeah.
Don't assume everyone is unaware. Oh, they give them the tickets.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. Yes. All right, here it is. Yes, they can come.
There you go.
There it is.
I like yes, senior corner. Come. What Boom. Do we put there?
All right, let's go back to the phone. Sal in Philly. Sal, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sal.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Sal?
I'm doing good. Just commuting back from work. I just want to talk about Ben Simmons' contract.
Yes, sir.
Do you think it was a wise move to sign him to such a, like, wealthy deal, given that, you know, in my opinion, it's like a subpar performance increase throughout the year? I mean, in the playoffs, he improved, like, a lot, but throughout the regular season, like, his numbers don't.
Yeah, the answer to your question is yes, it was wise. Because you don't want him thinking about leaving here. You have to build your team around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. You can't afford to have them leave. So whether he needs improvement or not, you have to give him that kind of a contract. And in the long run, you're kind of got to save a couple bucks.
Do you think he'll improve? Do you think they'll find a way to develop him a bit more, especially given that? I mean,
bro, I hope so. And if I had a vat of holy water, I would cross myself. That's the one thing I am hoping happens.
I don't think he needs to improve. Like, people keep saying, like, his jump shot's, like, terrible. The thing is, like, Giannis is the MVP, too, and, like, at least he attempts.
That's the point. You gotta attempt to take it. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I got to be honest with you. I'm really reluctant to think that that's going to happen click-clack, and next year he's going to shoot jump shots. But that said, I still think the Sixers can overcome that part of it and still win an NBA title.
Yeah.
Would you like a general knowledge question, bro?
Throw one at me.
You're not going to give them to your parents, are you?
No.
All right, here we go. It's general knowledge, the general knowledge category. All right, I'll give you an easy one. What do the letters FD, F as in Frank, D as in David, stand for in FDNY?
FDNY.
Ew. Fire department.
I mean, I couldn't make it any easier, fella.
He sounded young.
He did sound young.
So what, you're too young to know fire department?
I got grandparents coming now. I'm trying to balance it with young.
You don't know about the fire department? They got little kids know fire department. They know about the little spot on the truck.
I know.
The Dalmatian dog. This kid should know about fire department.
Maybe NY throw him off.
Okay, but at least guess Freddie Duncan. Like, don't just curse and run.
I noticed that Nat never rips anybody.
No,
even
never.
Even when they deserve to get ripped, she won't rip anybody. What is that about you, Nat?
That's just not
I want to hear you. This is a rip people show.
That's just not who I am. It's not who I am.
All right, she's like Gabe Kapler. He's not Dallas bleeping green.
Yes.
But even he benched Franco two days in a row.
And he's gotten thrown out of four games.
To be fair.
At least give me something, Nat.
I rip things when they're warranted. I feel very passionate.
Last time you heard Nat rip anything?
She ripped us when we were saying that the Folesians had went too far. That was the last thing she ripped.
Oh, stop it. That's not true.
It is. When you were lauding Foles and we said people have gotten over their skis, you ripped us.
You
haven't ripped a person and...
I like our listeners.
I mean, you haven't ripped a listener in
That's
ever.
What you exactly. guys are here for.
I can tell Nat. Somebody sideswiped my car in a grocery store parking lot, and she'd say, well, maybe he was in a hurry.
Clearly he has a problem.
That would be a Nat answer.
Yep. He's sideswiping cars. Clearly, he has a tough line.
Maybe he was in a hurry.
Yeah.
He had to pick up his 3-year-old.
Well, someone has to be the nice one here.
5 o'clock hours ahead where we get more nice callers. Can't wait. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.